Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, seven lines down. Just to review, the Gemara is discussing a machloke between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regards to two psukim that seemingly are unnecessary, which is, you have the pasuk about Achotcha, which is Ervat Achotcha, Bat Avicha Uvat Imecha, Moledet Bait Umoledet Chutz, Lo Tegale Ervatan. So there it deals with the sister. Then we have the additional pasuk, which is Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha Moledet Avicha Achotcha Hi Lo Tegale Ervata. The question is, why do you need that second pasuk? Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha, by definition, is also Bat Avicha. If it's Bat Avicha, then it's your sister because it's Bat Avicha. Why is Bat Eshet Avicha relevant at all? So we had a machloket Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda says, Ervat bet eshet avicha says achotcha hi. You're only chayev for one yisur, the yisur of achotcha, and nothing more. We also learn out of the pasuk at ein mazirin min adin, because achotcha teaches you even bat avicha and bat imecha. And then bat eshet avicha has to teach you something else, and that's what we're working on right now. The chachamim, on the other hand, say achotcha hi comes to teach you ein mazirin min adin. Ervat bet eshet avicha comes to tell you that you're chayev twice. You chayav once for achotcha bat avicha and one for ervat bat eshet avicha. If the woman happens to have both of these sides to her, that she's not only bat avicha but also bat eshet avicha, in that scenario, you're also going to be chayav. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara asks, what does he do with ervat bat eshet avicha? So according to him, you only chayav once. So what's the whole point of this? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, it comes to teach you that only someone that he has ishut with, only someone that he has a marital relationship or sustainable marital relationship with, will be chayevet for achoto. And it comes to exclude prat, l'shivcha, and prat, lovedet kochavim. So in the scenario where the father marries a shivcha or a vedet kochavim and then has a daughter, that daughter is not considered to be a sister to a son born to that father, in a different scenario, because the father does not have ishut over here with the Shifcha Kananit or with the Ovedet Kochavim. The Gemara says, well, why do you have to say that that's the case? Say it's Prat Anusa. Anusa is also a scenario where he doesn't have an ishut relationship with her. He simply has a physical relationship and that's it. The Gemara says you can't say that because Rava spoke about Bat Bina and Bat Bino, the two different scenarios. Sometimes the relationship's only through him. Sometimes the relationship is through the wife, meaning that the stepchildren are affected, and the Gemara differentiates between when it's anusa, then there's only a problem in terms of his children, meaning if it's born from him, then the child and the grandchildren are problematic in terms of erva, but the woman's children are not affected along, assuming they're not his children as well, but the woman's children from another husband, those children are not erva to him because it was anusa. On the other hand, if there's ishut, if he marries the woman, then those children that were born to this woman from another relationship, those stepchildren are problematic. So Gemara left that out. The Gemara says, okay, how about Chayvi Lavin? Maybe that's where we're not Tofes Kedushim. The Gemara says, no way, because there is Ishut. Kedushin works by Chayvi Lavin, and that we prove from the Pasuk of Kiti Enelish, Shtei Nasim, Achat Ahuva, Achat Sinua. Now the Gemara is proposing another possibility of what this could be referring to. The Gemara says here on the seventh line, Ve'ema Prat Lechayvei Kretot. Let us say that it's coming to exclude the case of Chayvei Kretot. Because by Chayvei Kretot, remember, there is no Kedushin Tofsin. As opposed to Chayvei Lavin, where the Kedushin is Tofes, over here, by Chayvei Kretot, it's not Tofes. So that's a case where he does not have Ishut with this woman. And maybe that's what the Pasuk's speaking about. It's coming to tell you that a daughter born from that illicit relationship, who will be a Mamzeret, she's not considered to be Achoto. Not just in the scenario where he marries a Shifcha Kananit and Ovedet Kochavim. Amarov, Amarkral, the Pasuk says, Ervat Achotcha, Bat Avicha, Ubat Imecha, the Pasuk that we've been discussing until now. But then there's the latter half of the Pasuk, which is, Moledet Bayit, O Moledet Chutz. Born, what would have been the Pashtura Pasuk is, born in the house, or born from outside the house. Ben Shomrim Lo Avicha Kayem, Ben Shomrim Lo Avicha Hotzei. So, chutz and bayit over here are not about the production, how this girl was born, but rather about the relationship the father has. He is born moledet bayit. Born out of a relationship, we say, sustain the relationship. Moledet chutz is born out of a relationship, we say, remove the relationship, to dissolve the relationship. And yet, the pasuk concludes, or it says about this, that it's achot chayi. It is your achot, no matter what. That is your achot. And so therefore, over here, moledet bayit, moledet chutz, comes to teach you, sometimes there are relationships in which we say to the father, you have to get rid of this woman, or this is not a sustainable relationship, and yet it's still called achot chayi. The truth is that this might be true with chivei lavin as well. This might be the answer for chivei lavin, because over here as well, by chivei lavin, even though kedushin are tofsin, we still would say to the father, hotzei, you have to get rid of this woman. It's not a proper marriage, even if the kedushin are tofsin. So some of the rishonim say that would also be subsumed in this pasuk, but in either case, it calls him achot chayi. She's still considered to be your sister in these scenarios. Even though the word achot chayi appears in the other pasuk, but the idea being that it's ervat achotcha, that here it's considered to be achotcha, that is, even in this scenario where we tell you to remove the woman or get rid of the woman, like the case of chiyuve karet. So where it says, ema ben shomer lo avicha kayem, ben shomer lo avicha hotzei, va'amar rachmona achotchahi. Lerabot achoto mishivcha v'ovedet kochavim. So he says, wait a minute. If you're going to say that already, so whether you say to the father, keep the marriage, whether you say to the father, dissolve the marriage, avamar rachman achotchahi, and still the Torah calls it achotchahi, why don't we say that's lerabot achoto mishivcha v'ovedet kochavim? Let us say that that's coming to include a case where he had a daughter through a shivcha kananit, or he had a daughter through a obedet kochavim. It's the same thing. In that case, we're going to tell him to get rid of the marriage. And over here, too, by chiyuvei karet, we're going to tell him to get rid of the marriage. Over there, the marriage doesn't tofes. It doesn't take hold at all. There's no kiddushin. So too over here, by chiyuvei karet, it doesn't take hold. So just like you're including a mamzeret produced out of an illicit relationship of chiyuvei karet to say she's a sister, why don't you say the same thing by obedet kochavim and shivcha? That's a case where we're going to have to throw her out. We're going to have to get rid of her. And yet, it's called achot chayi. So why not include shivcha kananit and obedet kochavim for the same pasuk that you're including chiyuvei karet? Amar kra, bat eshet avicha. Mi sheyesh lo ishut la'avicha ba prat la'achoto. That's the pasuk that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda calls. Only somebody that you have a marital relationship with to exclude la'achoto mi shivcha ve'obedet kochavim. To exclude a case where the daughter is born out of a relationship with a shivcha kananit or vedek kochavim, where the kedushin are not tofes. There is no ishut over there. So that daughter born will not be classified as a sister. The Gemara says, Umar Raita. You could say the exact same thing by chiyuvei karet. By chiyuvei karet, you could say the kedushin are tofes. There's no ishut over here. And it's not called achotcha. Why is it that you picked one for the other? You have two psukim here. You have one pasuk that says, eshet avicha. Only someone you have ishut with classifies as a sister. A daughter born out of that relation is classified as a sister. And then we have another pasuk that says, if you have to dissolve the marriage or get rid of this woman because there really isn't any marriage, there also we say that achot chayi, she really is your achot. So one pasuk is telling you she is a sister even though the marriage is problematic. And the other one is saying that she's not your sister when the marriage is problematic. So what did the Gemara do? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, all right, the one that says the marriage is no good and it's still considered achot chayi, that's talking about chiyuvei karet. That's talking about a mamzeret. The case where it says that the marriage is no good and the daughter is not considered to be a sister in that scenario, we say that's talking about a shivcha kananit and vedek kochavim. Mar says, why did you divide it that way? You could have just as easily swapped it around and said just the opposite. Mar says, mistavra, chayvei karetot havalei l'rabot shekein tafsi behen kiddushin la'alma. Wait a minute. With Chayvei Kareitot, the only problem here is between him and this particular woman. It's not that this woman cannot have Kiddushin or cannot have a scenario of Kiddushin. To anyone else in the world, this woman is a perfectly good wife. And only to him, because she's an Erva, is she not a good wife. So in terms of Kiddushin Tovsin, this woman could have Kiddushin. Just not with this particular individual. But with other people, she could have Kiddushin. Whereas the Shivcha Kananit and the Ovedet Kochavim, it doesn't matter who they marry. It doesn't matter which Jewish person they marry. They will never have Tfisat Kiddushin. The Gemara says, Adrabo, Shivcha Ovedet Kochavim Havle Lerabot. We should have included Shivcha Ovedet Kochavim. Di Migayra Lididei Nami Tafsiba Kiddushin. Because if they convert, then even for him, they're Tofes Kiddushin. So forget about for everybody else. By the case of Shivcha Kananit and Ovedet Kochavim, if they decide to mitgayer, if they decide to convert, then even for him, he could have kedushin with her. So the potential for him to have kedushin with these women, maybe that should make them more likely to be called wives than the scenario of Chayvei Kretot, who will always be that way and will never allow him the opportunity to have kedushin. So where it says, chimigayro gufa achrinai, exactly what David's saying, that once she converts, she's a new person. That when you've converted, first of all, convert is ketino shenola dummy, so that's number one. But number two is, you're asking her to undergo a change in status. You're asking her to do something, and then that will facilitate the ability to be married. So that's, once she goes through that process, then you can talk about it. But before that process, as the status quo stands, that's not the case. And therefore, with regards to a shifra kananit oved kochavim, they are considered to be less ishut, because they have no ability to have kiddushin in their current status, in the status quo of kiddushin with no one. The chayvei kretot may not have kiddushin with him, but have the possibility of kiddushin with others, and therefore the child born of that relationship will be considered, even though she's a mamzeret, will be considered achoto, will be considered a sister, whereas the child born out of a marriage to a shifcha kananit or ovedet kochavim will not be considered achoto. That child that's born has no yichus connection to this individual, and therefore she's not an erva. So now Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, that's what I use ervat ishet avicha for. Vira banon dimute shifcha ve'ovedet kochavim in aluhu. So now the Rabbanon, where do they also know that this doesn't work? When you have a shifcha kananit ovedet kochavim, how do you know that the child born of that relationship is not considered to be a sister? They don't have the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda has, because they used it already. Gemara says, "Nafkaluhu mi'aisha v'yada tiyel adunah." That way, over there it says that the woman and her children will belong to the master. So even though she's married to an Eved Ivri, as we spoke about yesterday, an Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew, despite that fact, "Tisha v'yada tiyel adunah," they have no shaychut to the Eved Ivri. They belong to the Adon, or some of the Rishonim learned out, "Mi'aisha v'yada." They're called her children. They're not called his children, they're called Isha Viladeha. They're her children, not his children, and therefore he has no shaykhut with it. So there you see that, at least with regards to Shivcha Kananit, that the children are not mintiyaches after the father, and they're not considered to be his children. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda do with this pasuk? Chad b'shivcha, v'chad b'ovedet kochavim. He needs two psukim. One to teach us about Shivcha, we'll assume that's the pasuk in Mishpatim that's talking about Shivcha. One by ovedet kochavim, which we'll use the pasuk here, which is ervat bat ishut avicha, mishi yesh lecha ishut ba. So that would be the two scenarios. Vitzrichi, and I need both of them. Dish manin shivcha mishum dein lachayis. By shivcha, I would say, oh, the reason there is because she has no yichus. She's a shivcha kananit. Avo vedet kochavim, deit lachayis. The gods don't vet kochavim. They still have some sort of semblance of yichus, meaning that we still call them the child of the father, the child of the mother. They have some sense of chiyuchos, emelo. V'yishmain en ovedet kochavim. If you told me about ovedet kochavim, mishum delo shaycha b'mitzvot. That's why she's precluded, or the child born of that relationship is not considered to be achuto. Of a shivcha de shaycha b'mitzvot. She's chayevet in mitzvot like an isha. So maybe since she has some shaychut in the mitzvot, emelo, maybe over there the child born would be considered achuto, tzvicha. So therefore I need two psukim. One to teach me about a shivcha kananit, that a child born from that is not considered to be his sister. And I also have to have a pasuk to teach my ovedet kochavim, that a child born to an ovedet kochavim is also not classified as his sister. Because in each one of the cases, had you only told me one, I wouldn't have extrapolated to the other. You told me about shivcha kananit, I wouldn't extrapolate to ovedet kochavim, because shivcha kananit doesn't have any yichus whatsoever. Whereas an ovedet kochavim at least has basic yichus, which is, we are mishayich. The father, at least we say in the Torah, even mentions a child's name, ben this, ben that, and it's still talking about non-Jews, so there is some semblance of yichus there. So we thought maybe over there, it would be considered achoto. Or if you just told me about Obed Kochavim, over there I would say, the reason that there is no achoto or isra of achoto is because she has no relationship to mitzvot whatsoever. She's a complete non-Jew. On the other hand, a shivcha kananit is chayevet in mitzvot, like a woman. She is almost, in a sense, partially converted, the shifcha kananit. Maybe over there, I would say, would be the achuto. The daughter born of that relation would be achuto. Therefore, I have two psukim. Now, Rabbanon. Okay, for the Rabbanon, ashkachan shifcha. We only have the case of shifcha because we brought the pasuk from Mishpatim. But, ovedet kochavim, minalu. Where are they going to learn out ovedet kochavim from? What are you going to say? You're going to extrapolate from the Pasuk of Mishpatim about Shifcha Kananit? We just told you that you can't extrapolate one to the other. That's why Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda needed two psukim. They're also going to need two psukim. Now the Gemara is going to bring an answer. The truth is, the easiest answer is out of the psukim in Ezra. Psukim in Ezra, it happens in Nehemiah as well, where they chastise them for having foreign wives, for having non-Jewish wives. And then they reestablish the covenant, and they promise they're going to get rid of all their non-Jewish wives. It's very clear there from the psukim that it's problematic, and that they needed to get rid of those wives. But that's in Ketuvim. The Gemara is in search of a source within the Torah itself, because they could have just quoted those psukim otherwise, and it's pretty clear there that non-Jewish wives are problematic. But here, the Gemara brings it from a pasuk in the Torah, something that we already saw earlier back on Daf Yud Zayin, which is, Amrav Yochanan Mishun Rav Shim Bayuchai Makra. Pasuk says, Ki Yasir Et Bincha Me'acharai. He will cause your child to leave me. So again, we looked at these psukim. These are psukim at the end of Parshat Etchanan. It's talking about when Hashem brings you into the land, and you'll get rid of all nashal goyim rabim mipanecha, chiti, agirashi, amori, aknani, aprizi, achibib, yusish, shiva goyim rabim atzumim mimeka. You'll get rid of the seven nations that are there. Unetanam Hashem lekecha lefanecha bikitam. Hashem will cause them to fall before you, destroy them. Hacharim tacharim otam. You must wipe them out completely. Lo tichrot ahem brit. Do not establish a covenant with them. Velo tichanim. And do not give them a foothold in the land. That's what the interpretation of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gives to Lo Tichanim. Velo titchatein bam. Do not marry. Do not intermarry with them. Bitcha lo titen livno. Your daughter do not give to their son. Ubito lo tikach levenecha. And their daughter don't take for your son. And the next pasuk says, Ki yasir et bincha me'acharai. Because yasir is written in the male conjugation, he will cause your son to leave me. So here, the Gemara Darshan, we're going to see this in 1 second. I'm just showing it in the Psukim. We'll read it inside. Ki Asir, he, the non-Jewish father, will cause your son, not literally your son, but your grandson, the son born of your daughter's marriage to this non-Jewish man, he will take him away, implying that the child born to a marriage between a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, the child is Jewish. Therefore, there's a fear that the father will cause the child to leave the faith or not follow the faith of his mother. On the other hand, the pasuk does not say ki tasir, that when she causes your son to leave, implying through that there is only matrilineal descent, no patrilineal descent, and therefore if your son marries a non-Jewish woman, the child is not Jewish. Therefore, there's no fear of the child being taken off the path. The child is not Jewish, therefore there's no fear of that, of her taking your child off the path. We saw backed up in Yud Zayin that the Rabbeinu Tam had a different interpretation of the pasuk, speaking about the son himself, that this will cause your son to leave the faith because he is now going to have a child that is not Jewish, and therefore Yasir bin Chan literally means your son will leave the faith because his child will not be classified as Jewish. Rabbeinu Tam had different little ways to interpret it, but the basic idea is the same, and that's what the Gemara says here. Bincha Misraelit Karui Bincha. Your child born to a Jewish mother is called your child. Bein Bincha Ba Mina Ovedet Kuchavim Karui Bincha El Bina. Whereas a child born to a non-Jewish mother is not called your child anymore, Ella, her child. So this is the source for the Chachamim's position as to why if you marry a Ovedet Kuchavim, the child has no Shaychut to the father. If there's no Shaychut to the father, then there's no relationship of Achuto anymore. Because Erva has to do with your common father or common mother. The common father has now been dropped because this child that's born out of a wedlock between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman has no consideration with regards to the father. Amar Avina, Shma Mina ben Bitcha Abba min ha'oved kochavim koroi bincha. Therefore you see, a grandchild that comes from an Oved kochavim is called your child. Now again, we dealt back on Yud Zayin. What did Ravina just add? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Yochai just say the same exact thing? They just said this. So the possibility in the Girsah that only one side of that statement was made by Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and Ravina is coming to make the other side of the statement. We dealt with why Ravina is necessary over there. But now the Gemara says, Lema kasava Ravina. Ravina is telling you, Oved kochavim ve'eved abal bat Yisrael, an Oved kochavim, a non-Jew, or an Eved Kanani, who has a relationship with a Jewish woman, the child that is born, Havlad Kasher. that the Vlad is kosher, that it's no problem. The Vlad is totally fine. Now, this is the Girsa in our Gemara. Tosafot points out that this is the Girsa here, this is the Girsa in the Rashi, and that is the Girsa in most of the Sfarim, he says, that we found out there. Aval b'Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Rov HaSfarim there say, Havlad Mamzer, that the product of this marriage is Havlad Mamzer. If you look back on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that's what it sounds like. The Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph is talking about a context of a sugya that says that an Eved, an Ovid Kochavim, that have a relationship with a Jewish woman, the child that is born is classified as a Mamzer. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position over there. So why is he classified as a Mamzer? It's a very good question. It's a Machloket HaRishonim. Tosafot says that the reason he is classified as a Mamzer is because you see that the child that is born here is Jewish. The fact that the child is Jewish means that he is born of a relationship that can impact him. If the child was not Jewish, then Mamzer and Mamzer would not be relevant at all. But since they have a relationship, and the yichus is after the mother, but it came of an illicit relationship, that's what produces a mamzer. So that's the Tosfot's approach. Back there on Daf Yud Zayin, Tosfot also suggests that Rabbi Yochanan is in the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says that if you're born out of an Iser Lav, that generates a problem of mamzerut. And this is all according to Rabbi Akiva's Shita, Rabbi Yochanan's Shita at Rabbi Akiva. Even though Tosfot had to deal with the fact that there's no Lav by an Oved Kochavim. It might be a Lav by a Eved Kanani, but by the case of an Oved Kochavim, it's not so clear there's a Lav. So Tosafot dealt with it. Maybe it's only the Rabbonin a Mamzer, or maybe because of the nature of the relationship, it's considered to be a Mamzer. That's the way Tosafot approaches it. Other Rishonim say the fact that the Kedushin aren't Tovsin over here, the fact that the relationship is impossible to really have a consummated relationship, that's why the child is a Mamzer. Just like by Chayvei Kreitot, what produces the Mamzer is the inability for the Kedushim to be Tovis. I mean, as opposed to an Iser Lav, where the Kedushim are Tovsin, the child that's born might be a Pasul, but he's not a Mamzer. Over there, by Chayvei Kreitot, the whole reason he's a Mamzer is because there is no marriage, there's no ability for them to join. So to over here, the inability of them to come together and have a marriage relationship is what produces the Mamzer. So some Rishonim focus on the separation, the distance between them, and that's what produces the Mamzer. Tosafot focuses on the ability to get Yichus of a Jewish Yichus here, that's what produces the Mamzerut over here. But either way, that's the Girsa in the Gemara and Kiddushin. Our Girsa over here starts about Avlad Kasher, and as Tosafot points out here, the whole Sugya over here actually is found in the Gemara and Kiddushin, but it follows a different path, mostly because of the premises of the Sugya. The Sugya starts from a different foothold, and therefore the sugya progresses differently. Even though they come to the same conclusion, they progress differently because they start with different givens. And so that makes the sugyas look a little different. But that this is one piece of that bigger puzzle that is also in that Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara here says, Nehi demamzer lohavi, kasher nami lohavi. Wait a minute, how can you conclude from Ravina, just because he says he's a Jewish child? Okay, so it's not a mamzer. But who says that this child is kasher? Israel pasul mikre. He's a pasul. He won't be a mamzer, but he'll still be a pasul. My nafkamino, if he is a pasul. So if it's a daughter, you could argue that that daughter is pasul de kuna. Pasul means, pasul de kuna, means that she is considered like a halal, halala. So therefore, she cannot marry into the kuna. And some even argue the son born of this marriage, even though he's a halal, and that has no impact in terms of kuna, because a kohenet is not nitztava, not to marry a halal, but if he produces a child, a daughter, with another woman, then that daughter will be considered a halala and won't be able to marry into the kuna. That's what some people suggest. There are others who suggest that the psul here is not a psul kuna, it's simply pgam mishpacha. It's a psul. Psul that has no halachic impact. It's just a pgam in the yichus of this family, that this child has a pgam, but it doesn't affect they can marry a kohen, and they are not considered to be a mamzerim. Now, the Gemara says something here which is very interesting and has major implications to halacha, which is ha b'shiva umot k'tiv. The reason I read you the psukim before is the context in the psukim is very clear that this is talking about the seven umot inside of Eretz Canaan. Ki asir, there are both kol ha-mesirim. The Gemara says no problem, because when it says there ki asir, that they'll take you away from the path of Hashem, that reason is applicable not only to the shiva umot, it'll apply to any non-Jewish parent that would happen. Gemara says, Anichol the Rabbi Shimon the Dorish time of the Korah. That works well according to Rabbi Shimon, who's Dorish the reasonings behind the mitzvot. El Rabbanon Minolo. For Rabbanon, what are you going to do? This is a greater machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether we are allowed to be Doresh time of the Korah. Both the Ramban and the Rambam in discussing this say that this doesn't mean that we shouldn't search for reasons in the mitzvot. Everybody agrees that you look for reasons in the mitzvot. This is not to say that all mitzvot are chukim, don't look for reasons. We should look for a reason behind all the mitzvot, and the mitzvot have a reason. Machloket about what that reason is between the Ramban and the Rambam. But all mitzvot have a reason. The question is there a halachic impact from that reason? If I now look at the reason, and I can make certain conclusions from that reason, can I then have halachic impact from that? For instance, one should not take collateral from a amana. One should take collateral when they lend to an amana, collateral that they're going to have to return every day. Because vayanani, so you take his item each day as collateral, and then you return it each day in order to protect against the default on the loan. By an amana, if you go each day and take it in and take it out, it's going to look really bad. Here's this widow, this single woman, and a man is going in to visit her each day, taking the thing item in, taking the item out. It looks really bad. So for that reason, Rabbi Shimon says that's the reason why you can't take collateral from a poor woman. Implying, this is what he says, there is a halachic nafkamina to that. What happens if the woman is wealthy? The amana is a wealthy woman, and he won't have to go back and forth. He'll take the collateral once, and that'll be it. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's fine. You can take collateral from an amana who is wealthy. Then the Chachamim say that's not the case. The Torah says don't take collateral from an amana. Okay, you can explain the reason, but the Torah doesn't differentiate based on that reason. Therefore, the halacha is don't take collateral from an amana. It doesn't matter what type of amana. So over there you see how Rabbi Shimon takes the reason and makes a halachic nafkamina from it, whereas the Chachamim don't. That doesn't mean, again, that there's no reason behind the mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon might be right. So the Chachamim say that we don't, even if we know the reason, we don't have a halachic nafkamina from it. So also over here, the same thing's happening over here. You have a pasuk that's telling you don't do this. Why is it telling you don't do this? Actually, the pasuk tells you explicitly why not to do it. Ki yasir. Because it's going to cause your child to be taken off the derech Hashem. So based on that, Rabbi Shimon, who's Doresh time in the Krah, even when there's no reason, if the Torah gives you a reason, it must be that it's coming to teach you additional information. So over here, it gave you the reason, which is ki yasir. So Rabbi Shimon says, you know what that means? It means not only Shiva Umot, it means any non-Jew. So that's the way Rabbi Shimon learns it. The Chachamim will say, wait, generally we don't even worry about the time of the Krah. Over here, when the Torah gives you the time of the Krah, we're not going to say then expand that to say it's more than what is given. The Torah gives you the reason. That's it. So the Gemara is saying here, okay, I understand for Rabbi Shimon why he can expand this beyond the Shiva Umot, because the Torah gives you the reason ki yasir, and ki yasir is equally applicable to the Shiva Umot as it is to any other nation, any other non-Jew. So, but what are the Chachamim going to do? How they can expand this beyond the din of the Shiva Umot? The Gemara says, Mantana de Palgalei de Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the Tana that argues in Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimoni. This Machloket until now we say was Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbanan. You know who those Rabbanan are? That's Rabbi Shimon. They're going to have to come up with a different way to come up with this explanation of why an Obed Kochavim does not produce a child that has Yichus after the father. That's going to be according to Rabbi Shimon, who can expand this beyond the Shiva Umot to all the nations. Now, what's very interesting over here is that out of this pasuk I read to you before, there are actually three halachot that come out of this pasuk. One is the question of intermarriage, matrilineal, patrilineal descent. That is ki asir. The pasuk before also had, and that's why I read it to you before, it says, lo tichrot lahem brit, you may not make covenants with these nations, and lo tichanem, and you may not give them chanaya bakarka. You're not allowed to give them a foothold in Eretz Yisrael. This might be a restriction against selling land to non-Jews inside of Eretz Yisrael. So now, Tosafot does something very interesting. Tosafot and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah ask this question. The Gemara brings down the issue of Lo Techaneim. Tosafot says, if you look at the context of Psukim, it's talking about Shiva Umot. It's only talking about the seven nations. There, Tosafot says, you know what? It's not just the seven nations. It applies to any non-Jew. Then, lo tichrot lahem brit. It's interesting, it says, do not make a covenant with them. If you look in Sefer Yoshua, Yoshua asks the Givonim, when they dress up and they come from far away, and they say, we want to make a covenant with you, Yoshua says, well, maybe you're amongst the nations that are here, and we can't make a brit with you. Implying that if they were from nations outside, that it would have been fine to make a brit with them. So from Yoshua, and then after they trick him, and then they realize that the Givonim, the local people, and he has to uphold the brit in the end, the covenant at the end, because of Chilul Hashem. But he would have made a brit with them had they been from outside of the seven nations. It was only with the seven nations that he wasn't willing to make a brit. So Tosafot says that lo tichrot lahem brit, might be limited to the seven nations, the Shiva Umot. It's pretty clear here that Ki Asir, also in the Psukim over here, seems to be applying that it's only reference to the Zayin Umot. Because the Gemara over here says it only applies to Zayin Umot unless I can extend it. Ki Asir, I have another reason to extend it. The context says Shiva Umot. So that means that Lo Tichol Lehem Brit is about the Shiva Umot, and there Tosafot asks a question about Shlomo Melech. How do you make a Brit? How do you have a covenant with Hiram, Melech Tzur? And he tries to deal with that. And then he says, with regards to Ki Asir, it's pretty clear from the Gemara here, it only applies to the Shiva Umot, unless I have another Reboy, like Rabbi Shimon says. But Lo Tichanim, Tosafot says, applies to all the non-Jews. So it's very interesting in the order of Sukkim. It says here, you have the Shiva Umot, and then it says, you have to wipe them out, hacharim tacharim otam. You must eliminate them completely. Lo tichrot lehem brit. Do not make a covenant, do not make peace treaties with them. So Tosafot says, that's because you have an obligation to wipe them out completely. Don't make a brit with them, because then you're not going to wipe them out. But that won't apply to other nations, where you don't have that obligation to wipe them out. Then it says, lo tichanim. Do not give them a foothold in the land. Tosafot says that applies to any non-Jew, period. And then it goes back and says, Lo titchatein bam, ki yasirat bincha. So then don't get married with them, and then ki yasirat bincha. Tosafot says that's limited to the seven umot. So it's very interesting now, the way Tosafot learns the parsha here, he says, Zayin umot applies to covenants. Zayin umot applies to that intermarriage piece. But the lo tichanein applies to all the nations in the middle. So it's an interesting way that Tosafot sets up the sugya over here. There are those that disagree with Tosafot in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf in Avodah Zarah. There Tosafot says Lo Tichanim applies to all non-Jews. Some say it only applies to the Shiva Umot. That's how you could argue on Tosafot. Or you can argue on his premise on the other two ideas here, which is that either Lo Tichrot Lehem Brit or Lo Tichatein Bam is limited to the Shiva Umot, if you see that more expansive. But the way Tosafot reads it turns out to be very interesting. Because you have two halachot that surround a single halacha, both of which only apply to seven umot, and then the halacha in the middle applies to all umot, even though the context is clearly the Shiva umot over here. Right? It's a broader topic. We spoke about it much more extensively in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah about Lo Tichanim. It's not our topic over here. Just bring it because it's interesting in this context where these isurim apply. Lo Tichatein Bam, does that only apply to the Shiva umot? Maybe it doesn't apply to other nations, and therefore there's no lav by other nations intermarrying with them. There might be a resultant lack of yichus. Might be that the child that's born is a mamzer according to Rabbi Yochanan, but there is maybe no isur of lo tichatein bam in terms of idoraita, because it only applies to the Shiva Umot. And same thing, lo tichrot lehem brit. That might be true only by the Shiva Umot. The Gemara begins a new Mishnah here. The Mishnah has a series of cases here. The main thing that the Gemara is focused, the Mishnah is focused on over here are two Isurim Derabanan. One Isur Derabanan called Achot Zekukato, and one Isur Derabanan called Achot Chalutzato. One is not allowed to marry the sister of his wife. Even if he divorces the woman, he cannot marry the sister of his wife until the wife or ex-wife passes away. Then he's allowed to marry the sister. Since Chalitza looks like Gerushin, looks like a divorce, the Chachamim goes there by Achot Chalutzato. The sister of one he has Chalitza with, he cannot marry as long as the Chalutza is alive, because it looks like Gerushin. But that's an Isur Derabanan. There's also an Isur Derabanan of Achot Zekukato, which is in this scenario, we've seen this many times, where you have Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. They have two brothers, Levi and Yehuda. Then Reuben and Shimon pass away without children. Rachel and Leah fall to Levi and Yehuda. Both Levi and Yehuda cannot marry these women because they are called Achot Zekukato. Because each one of these women has a zika to the Yabam and their sisters. So if he marries one of them, he's Bogeya v'Achot Zekukato. When he marries one of the women, the other woman is quasi-married to him through the zika. And it's as if he's got two sisters in this package. Now, and we said if one of them is Choleitz, then the other one might be able to deal with the woman if he already has Kedushin with her. There, we spoke about different permutations over there. So the Mishnah here is dealing with those two Isurim in the basic point, is these Achot Chalutzato and Achot Zekukato are the two main issues of this Mishnah, but here there are cases of Safek. It's not clear that that is the case. Which is, Mi Shekidesh Achat Mishtei Achayot. A person has Kiddushin with one of two sisters, Ve'en Yodea Ezman Kiddesh. And he doesn't know which one he had Kiddushin with. So what exactly the scenario is, how is it that he has Kiddushin without knowing which sister he was Mikadosh, whether he forgot, the Gemara is going to deal with this later on, or maybe he sent a Shliach to go be Mikadosh, one of the sisters, and then both the sisters sent out Shlichim to accept it. And in the confusion, it's not clear who accepted and which one accepted and which one did it first. All of that could result in a situation in which they don't know which sister he is married to. So now you have two sisters. He's married to one, but clearly not married to both, because that's an impossibility. Notain get lazu, notain get lazu. He has to give a divorce, a bill of divorce to both of them. He can't marry either one of them, because if he marries the woman, it might be his wife, but also might be the sister of his wife who is an ervat to him, so she cannot marry the woman. He cannot let the women go, because they can't go marry others, because they might be married to him. So he has to give a get. He has to give a divorce, a bill of divorce to both of them. So now, mate, if he passes away before he rectifies this situation, veloach echad, and he has one brother. So now the brother is faced with the possibility of yibum with these women. Truthfully, if he took one of the women, the truth is it would not be problematic, because either the woman is his brother's wife, and he's performing yibum with her, or she's not his brother's wife, and she's a nachrit, and he can marry her. But because of the problem of zika, in that scenario where he marries the woman that's not his brother's wife, the other woman really was his brother's wife and fell to him for yibum. And when she fell to him for yibum, he has a zika that is there. Since that zika exists, we're not going to allow him to marry one of the women because of the possibility that he'll be pogeya be'achot zukukato. Because what he could have said to him to do is do yibum with one of them and do chalitza with the other. If he did it in that order, yibum first, chalitza second, then the woman that he married either is really the woman he was supposed to be miyabe, or it's a woman that has no relationship to them at all, and it's fine to marry her. This woman's either a yivama, and he's fine. Or she's an outsider, and he's fine when he marries this woman. The other woman either is an outsider, and has nothing to do with him, or she was the yivama, and does chalitza with her and lets her go. Why don't we let him do this? Because she is achot zukukato. The problem is, if he marries this first woman, there's a risk that the other woman is really his yivama, and now he's marrying a woman with a sister who has a zika to him, and that's the problem. All right, so what are you going to do? Chalitza first. Let us do chalitza first, and let him do yibum second. If he does chalitza first, if the woman is a nachrit, then it doesn't matter anymore. The chalitza was meaningless, and then he marries the woman that is his yivama. On the other hand, if it is his yivama, and he does chalitza with her first, then when he goes to marry the other sister, who is a foreigner, it becomes achot chalutzato, which we said before is also an Isur D'Rabbanan. So either way, he's going to bump into an Isur D'Rabbanan. Even though Midoraita, he could have either done Chalitza Yibum or Yibum Chalitza Midorabbanan, he bumps into problems on both sides. Therefore, what does he do? Choletz L'Shtehen. He has to do Chalitza with both of them. Now, Hayulo Shnayim. If he has two brothers, what can you do in that scenario? You clear up the situation. Because in that scenario, Echad Choletz V'Echad Miyabim. One of them does chalitza, and one of them does yibum. The chalitza will have to go first. One of the brothers, let's say in our case here, you have Reuven, who married either Rachel or Leah. We don't know which woman he married. Then he passes away, and Rachel and Leah are now here, so fake wives of Reuven. Levi and Yehuda are available. Levi can perform chalitza with Rachel, and then Yehuda can go ahead and marry Leah. Why? Because once Levi performs chalitza with the first woman, you've gotten rid of the problem of zika now. Once you've eliminated the problem of zika, then the yibum to the other woman no longer is a problem of achot zekukato. That's number one. Achot chalutzato, no longer a problem, because he wasn't the one who performed the chalitza. It was his brother who performed the chalitza. You've now cleared out all the surim. So therefore, the second brother can go ahead and perform yibum. Mimanav shach. Either he is performing yibum, or this woman has nothing to do with their family, and he can marry her anyway, because she wasn't the woman that was married to either of the brothers. So in that scenario, we have two brothers. You can have chalitza first by one of the brothers, and then yibum by the second brother. What happens? Kidmu v'kansu. They went ahead, and they married these two women. Levi married Rachel, and Yehuda married Leah, ein motzien miyadan. The idea here was that they didn't go to Beit Din. They didn't ask us any questions. They just went ahead. Levi married Rachel, Yehuda married Leah. In that case, ein motzian miyadam. We don't force them to release them. Now, many of the Rishonim point out over here that, first of all, if they came to Beit Din, and Beit Din said no, and they went and did it, we would force them to get rid of these women because they went against the Psak of Beitin. Number two is, the only reason we don't force them to get rid of these women, even though in other places we have a knas that they have to get divorced, is because over here the whole thing is a safek. We're not dealing with really surim, we're dealing with safek isurim over here. It's safek achut zukukato. And over here, each one of them can say that that was the yabam and I did it right. In this scenario, it might be different than other scenarios, and therefore some even believe, even if they asked and they went ahead and did it, that it might still hold because of the fact that it's all a safek over here. But we don't force them to get rid of them because in this case, the worst thing they did was they were pogea b'achot zukukato. That's the worst thing they could have done here. In the instance where the first one got married and it was actually a vama, then the second one who married did it without any problem at all because she was a nachrit and there was no achot zukukato. The only problem is if the first one who married married the nachrit, the woman who wasn't married to his brother, then he was pogea b'achot zukukato. And when the second one married her, he eliminated the Zika retroactively. The Mafreya, he got rid of the Zika. So now when we're looking at a scenario where they're both married, Levi and Yehuda are married to Rachel and Leah, there's no reason to force them to divorce. There's no residual Isur that's left here. The only possible Isur was a Safek of Achot Zukukato, and that's eliminated. Either because the first one who married the Yavama and the Zika went, or because the second one who got married the Yavama and got rid of the Zika retroactively for the first one. So the Zika's gone in the end. There's no reason to force them to divorce in this scenario. Shnayim shekidshu shtei achayot. Two people married two sisters. Ze einu yodea ezu kidesh, ze einu yodea ezu kidesh. Two individuals that married two sisters. Ze einu yodea ezu kidesh, ze einu yodea ezu kidesh. Neither of them knows which one they were mikadesh. So now you have an issue over here. Zeno ten shnei gitin. Zeno ten shnei gitin. They both have to give two gitin over here. They can't marry either woman because, yes, maybe if he picks one of these women, then it's his wife. But the other possibility is the wife of the other individual over here. Now, meitu. If these two individuals pass away, l'zeh ach or l'zeh ach. So for in our instance over here, say that it's Reuven and Moshe. Reuven and Moshe had kiddushin with two women who were sisters, Rachel and Leah. And they have uncertainty as to which of the women it is that they had kiddushin with. Now, they pass away. Reuven passes away without children, Moshe passes away without children. Reuven has a brother named Shimon, and Moshe has a brother named Aaron. Those two brothers, they have to do zecholetz l'shteyem, v'zecholetz l'shteyem. Each one of them has to do chalitza with both women. They can't marry either one of the women, because if they pick one of the women, it might be his yivama, because it was married to his brother, but it also might be the Yavama of the other individual who he has no relationship to, so then it'll be an Isser of Yavama B'Shuk, and it'll be Pogea by Yavama B'Shuk, which is an Isser Doraita, it's a Lav Doraita, so therefore he has to perform a Chalitza. Now, once he's performed the Chalitza with the woman, he can't marry the other woman, even though both of them have performed, say, for instance, Shimon performed Chalitza with Rachel, and Aaron performed Chalitza with Leah. So then why can't Shimon marry Leah? And Aaron will marry Rachel. The problem is now that after they perform Chalitza, it becomes Achot Chalutzato. So you're right, he might hit the Yavama, but it also might be Achot Chalutzato, which is an Isur Derabbanan. And therefore, they both have to perform Chalitza over here. There's no opportunity for Yibum. Zeh Echad Ulezeh Shnayim. In a case where Moshe only has one brother named Aaron, and Reuven has two brothers, Shimon and Levi, then Ayachid choletz l'shteihem. Then in that case, Aaron will be choletz both to Rachel and Leah to clear out any possibility that she is a Yavama L'shuk. To either one of them, he gets rid of that problem. But Shnayim, the remaining two, Shimon and Levi, on Reuven's side, Echad choletz, the first one has to perform Chalitza to get rid of the problem of Zika. V'chad mi yabim, and then the other one performs the Yibum over here, because Mimon of Shach, it is ending up with the woman that was married to Moshe, and that's a foreign woman now because Aaron already performed Chalitza with her and he can marry her without any problem. Or he's landing up with the woman that was married to his brother Reuven and he's performing Yibum over here. And as far as Achot Chalutzato, that's not a problem because his brother performed the Chalitza with the woman that might have been their Yivama, and so then he's allowed to marry the sister because he doesn't have a problem with Achot Chalutzato. Kadmu b'kansu, if they go ahead and they married them without asking us, ein motzim yadam, for the same reason that we saw in the Reisha. L'zeh shnayim, u'l'zeh shnayim. If both parties have two brothers, that means that Reuven has brothers Shimon and Levi, and Moshe has brothers Aharon and Kalev. So then, Achiv shel zeh choletz lachat, v'achiv shel zeh choletz lachat. Reuven's brother Shimon performs chalitza with Rachel. Moshe's brother Aaron performs chalitza with Leah. So that each one of the brothers performs chalitza with one of the women. Then, v'achiv shel zeh miyabeim chalutzuto shel zeh. Then Shimon's brother Levi will marry the chalutza of Moshe's brother, I mean Aaron's chalutza, Leah. V'achiv shel zeh Kalev, the other brother of Moshe, Aaron's brother, miyabeim chalutzuto shel zeh, will marry the chalutza of Shimon, meaning he will marry Rachel. In this scenario, you've gotten rid of the problem of Yevamah L'shuk by having each one of them perform chalitza with one of the women. Because then, whatever's left over now, in terms of the women, like for instance, in the case here where Shimon performs chalitza with Rachel, now Rachel was either his Yevamah, and now he's released her the shuk, or Rachel had nothing to do with him, and Leah was the woman that he had to have perform Yibum with. But he can't perform Yibum with her because that's a chot chalutzoto. But Levi steps in and then marries Leah. When he marries Leah, he's either marrying his Yevamah, or he's marrying a woman that has no relationship to him whatsoever. It's not achut chulutzato because Shimon, his older brother, performed chalitza with Rachel. And if she was a foreign woman, then she was really Yevamah to Aaron and Kalev. Aaron already performed chalitza with Leah. So that solves all your problems. Therefore, you can perform Yibum. And the same in the reverse. Why Kalev can marry Rachel is either she is his Yevamah, or Rachel has nothing to do with him. But she was the Yevamah to Shimon and Levi, but Shimon already performed chalitza with her. In terms of achot chalutzato, if the Yevamah was really Leah to them, as achot chalutzato, he wasn't the one who performed chalitza. His brother, Aaron, performed chalitza, therefore Kalev can marry Rachel. Kadmu b'shnayim v'chaltzu, if two of them go ahead and perform chalitza, lo yibmu ashnayim. If two of the brothers here, in this instance, Shimon and Levi, went ahead and performed chalitza, one with each of the two women, then the other side can't come along and perform Yibum with both of them, because now you're back to a scenario where you have a problem of Zika here. Because yes, in terms of the Yevamah L'shuk, Shimon and Levi took care of their Yevamah and released her. But in terms of the Yevamah that belongs to Aaron and Kalev, she's still there. If they're both Miyabim over there, then the one who gets married first might have married his Yevamah, but he also might have married Achot Zukukato, which is a problem. So therefore, El Echad Choleitz, first you have to do Chalitza, then Echad Miyabim, and then the other one does Yibum, Kadmu V'Kansu, like in the other cases, if they go ahead and marry them, again, at worst, the scenario was Achot Zukukato and Isha D'Rabbanan. If the one who married first married his Yevamah, then it is not even an issue of Achot Zukukato, because Aaron married the Yevamah, say it was Rachel, and then when Kalev goes in and marries Leah, he's marrying a woman that has nothing to do with him, and she already has chalitza from the other brothers. So that would be fine, it wouldn't even be a problem. Now, the other reverse way, if Aaron marries Rachel first, Rachel is not their Yevamah. She was the Yevamah to the other parties who did chalitza with her, that's fine. But then he is marrying Achot Zukukato, because Leah, it was really his Yevamah, and the Zika's there. But then when Kalev comes and marries Leah in the end, he takes away the Zika from Aaron. So retroactively, he's removed the Zika, and that's why we're not going to force them to leave in that scenario. Now, the Gemara will ask the question, which is obvious from the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah is giving permutations of the cases, but the cases are repeating themselves. And in truth, you're giving the same case over and over again. You're just expanding it and giving the same halacha. So what's the chiddush in each stage? And that's what the Gemara will deal with. Shma mina, the Gemara says, maybe you would conclude, kiddushin shein misurin de bila have a kiddushin. Kiddushin that are not given over to bia are not considered kiddushin. It's a machloket in the Gemara in kiddushin between Abaye and the Rava as to whether kiddushin that do not result in a bia are considered to be kiddushin. Well, we can conclude from our mission over here, the fact that the first scenario here is a case where he does kiddushin with two women, and we don't know which of the women, and we say there they have to get a get. Well, that says that the kiddushin worked, even though there's no way that he can consummate these kiddushin, because he can't perform bia with either of these women. Nevertheless, we say it's a good kiddushin. So we see from here, kiddushin, she'in misurin the bia, have a kiddushin, it works. It says, Acha by Eskina, and what's the case here? Shibokru, ublasof nitarvu. They at first knew which sister he had gotten married to, ublasof nitarvu, but in the commotion, they lost track of it, and they didn't know in the end. Again, it's more likely when the parties directly are not involved, but there's shlichim involved, and then there's some sort of confusion, and at one point there was certainty to the marriage, but then it got confused and they didn't know which sister it was. Dekanami, you can be medayik that out of the Mishnah, because it says, ve'eno yodeya. He doesn't know. Velotani eno yadua. It's not known. Eno yodeya means at this point he doesn't know the information. At one point he knew the information, but now he doesn't know which one he was married to. Eno yadua means it was never known. It was not a fact that was known because no one ever knew which sister he was married to. That's not what our Mishnah says. Mishnah says eno yodeya, which shmamina seems to indicate that uncertainty developed at a later stage. And therefore there's no proof from here, because if you say that, then kiddushin are tofsin over here, because it was royal to be at the time of the kiddushin. It was only later on that the safek developed. Now, in terms of kiddushim aruin the biyah, one would have to differentiate, and Tosafot points out over here, just because you can't perform biyah doesn't mean the kiddushin are not tofes. Because by chayve lavin, we say that the kiddushin is tofes, even though you're not supposed to perform biyah with this woman. The problem has to be, when we say kiddushin that are not misurin to biyah, is that the kiddushin generates the problem of biyah. That the biyah cannot go because of the kiddushin. And that's the scenario over here. Over here, where he potentially married two sisters, the kiddushin produced a safek that doesn't allow him to perform biyah. And since it produced a safek that doesn't allow him to perform biyah, that's kiddushin shelo misurin to biyah. But a person has kiddushin with a woman who's a nida. At the time, he can't have biyah with her. That's not kiddushin. They're not tofes. The Gemara said that's chubat nida, and they're allowed to get married even though he can't perform biyah at that moment. Chubay lavin, even though technically he's not supposed to have biyah with this woman, but the kiddushin didn't cause that problem. She's a chubay lavin without the kiddushin. So since the kiddushin didn't cause the problem, the kiddushin will go through even though the biyah is asura. So you have to differentiate between the inability to perform biyah, either because there's an isur or there's some other factor that's preventing him performing biyah at this moment, that kiddushin is a good kiddushin. But if the process or the kiddushin themselves generate the problem of not performing biyah, that's where we have a question as to whether the kiddushin are tofsin or not, machlokes rabbanan rova. Here the Gemara says you have no proof in the Mishnah, because you could explain the Mishnah as a case where they knew beforehand and then it got lost afterwards, where everybody agrees those were kiddushin, I'm assuming the biyah up front. Tosfot does point out in the end that the word enu yodea is inconclusive. It could go either way, because otherwise then you could be medayik out of our Mishnah against Abaye, who says kiddushin shenim misurim the biyah are considered kiddushin. Our Mishnah says no, only if it's enu yodea, but not if it's enu yodua. So Tosfot says enu yodea could go either way. Enu yodua would for sure mean that it was not known ever. So therefore, Abaye and Rava can each read it in their own way without having a problem over here. Now the Gemara says, Umay kamashmalan. What is this Mishnah coming to teach to us? Gemara says, Seifet strichalei. We need the latter half of the Mishnah, mate, below achechad, choleitz lishtehem. The first part of the Mishnah, he has to give a get to both of them. That's obvious. That's the only way that he could get rid of this problem. So what's the question? If he has kiddushin and he has a safek kiddushin, he's got to give a get to both of them. So Gemara says, we need the next scenario in the Mishnah, which says, if he dies and he has one brother, choleitz lishtehem. He has to do chalitza with both of them. Hayulo shnayim, echad chaleitz ve'echad meyambeim. Dafka michlatz v'hadar yivume. He must first do chalitza, one of the brothers, and then the other brother do yibum. Ava yivume v'reisha lo. But if he does yibum first, no. The kapaga b'achot zukukato. This is what we spoke about in the Mishnah itself, because otherwise you bump into achot zukukato, and achot zukukato is an iser dirabanan. So that's the chiddush here, that you have to do chalitza first, then yibum second. Because we want you to get rid of the problem of Zika first and then deal with the Yibum side of it. Shnaim shekidshu shtei achayot. Shma mina. Kiddushim shein misurin debia ave kiddushin. Again, the same scenario in the second half of the Mishnah. Two foreigners that marry two sisters, their problem with each of the women is because they're married to the other individual. Shma mina. Kiddushim shein misurin debia ave kiddushin. The same conclusion we would have reached by that first case in the Mishnah is that here, you have kiddushin that went into effect even though they cannot lead to be on the end. Mar says, Achanami Shukru Lasof Nitarbu. It's a case where they knew at one point who had kiddushin with whom, but then it got mixed up or they lost track of it. Deganami, you can be medayik this from the Mishnah. Deganami Ve'en Yodeya. Belogtani En Yodua. This is a lashon of En Yodeya. They don't know now, but En Yodua, not that it wasn't known ever. Shma Mina. Mar says, Maik Mashmalon. What is that teaching us? We already know that from the first half of the Mishnah. So Sefer Yitzrichalei, we need the latter half here. Meitu, lezeh echad ulezeh shnayim. Or you have a case where they pass away, and one of them has one brother, and one of them has two brothers. Hayachid choleitz lishteihem, v'shnayim echad choleitz v'echad meyabeim. The one has to perform chalitza with both of them, and the one with the two brothers has chalitza first with one of the brothers, and yibum with the second brother. Pshita, ainu resha. That's just constructing a case that amalgamates all the cases of the resha, the case of one brother, and the case where there are two brothers. It just happens to be now that you've combined the two of them. So Mara says, I would think in this scenario that the two should not be able to perform yibum at all because of the one. By the one, you have to have chalitza, and his chalitza has to go first. So maybe I would impose on the two also and say, wait, they can't get married because we're going to confuse it. Kamash Malan, that's okay. B'davka michlatz v'ader yivume. That only if chalitza goes first, and then afterwards yibum. But you can't do yibum in the first place, the kabaga b'yavam al-shuk. Because otherwise then you might bump into yavam al-shuk if the one doesn't perform chalitza, and this woman happens to be the yavama, his yavama. If the two brothers go ahead and they, one performs chalitza and one performs yibum first, that's not going to help out the scenario because it might belong to the other individual who married these two sisters here, and his brother has to perform chalitza first in order to free this woman to the shuk. Again, why do I need this? So again, this is just amalgamation of the previous cases. Maybe they'll perform yibum without chalitza since both parties here are allowed to perform yibum after chalitza is performed by the first brother in each party, kamash malon, that you're allowed to perform the yibum over here. You just have to make sure that the chalitza is done first. Right, says, Mishnah mahadetnan. How is this different than a Mishnah that we're going to see later on? Arba'achim, shnayim mehem nisuin shtei achayot. This case, Reuven Shimon, Levi and Yehuda. Reuven Shimon are married to two sisters. Umeitu anisuin et achayot. Reuven and Shimon pass away without children. Hareo chotzot. V'lo mityabmot. They have to perform chalitza, and they cannot perform yibum. Rashi claims that the question is actually from the Sefer, the Mishnah that's not quoted over here, which says, the Sefer says, im kadmu v'kansu, if they go ahead and marry the women, even though it's achotz kukato, yotziu, we force them to divorce the women. As opposed to over here, where we say they go ahead, and either they didn't ask us, or they disregard what we said and married them, over here, we do not force them to divorce the women. Over there, we force them to divorce the woman. Now, in our case, it's a problem about chod zekukato. And over there, it's also a problem about chod zekukato. Because one of these women has a zikah to them. And because of that zikah, it provides a problem with the sister marrying the sister. So why is a chod zekukato over there, we force them to divorce the women? A chod zekukato over here, we don't force them to divorce the women. That's what Rashi says the question is. Tosafot disagrees and says that's not the question. First of all, the Gemara doesn't quote that part of the Mishnah. But the question is, over there, it says, shtehem chotzot. They both have to form chalitza. Yet in our Mishnah, it says, achad choleitz v'achad miyabeim. So how come in our Mishnah, you can have one of them perform chalitza first, and the second one perform yibum? And the Mishnah over there, it says they both have to perform chalitza. Or it says, hachi ashto. How can you compare the Mishnayot? Hotam ilaman demar yesh zika, yesh zika. According to the one who says there's a zika, zika's a problem, then you have a zika from the two yivamot, and that's the problem. Ilaman demar zesur lebatel mitzvat yivamim. That we saw earlier on Daf Yudchet, that even if you don't hold of Zika, there might be a problem of being mevatel the mitzvah yivamim, because if it's miyabim, one of the women, then the second woman, if the other brother dies, will be left with that. Anything in the mitzvah yibum will not be completed. Over here in our case, they can argue that whichever one came to them was the right one. I mean that in our scenario, there is a possibility that there was no violation. Because the possibility is that the first one who married actually married the Vama in our case. And the second one who married ended up marrying the sister who had nothing to do with them. And in that case, they did no Isur. Now, you're true in the reverse. If they had married the woman that had nothing to do with them first, that was Achot Zekukato, and then his brother married the other woman, the Vama, and that took care of the Zikah. Okay, you're right. In that scenario, there was an Isur. But it's only a Safek Isur. And therefore, each one of them, when they come, we come to them, they could say, I hit the jackpot. I got the right woman. Since I got the right woman, there's nothing to talk about over here. I can't force you to divorce. In the case by the Shtei Achayot and the two brothers, no matter what, there was an Isur that was violated. There's no way you can claim that they got it right. Because whoever married first, for certain hit Achot Zekukato. There's no question about it in that scenario that he hit Achot Zekukato according to Rashi. So then, why don't we suggest over here that one of them would be Choleitz, one of them would be Abeim, like Tosafot says the question is, and even according to Rashi, why don't we have that as a solution? Because both Tosafot and Rashi explain over here that Choy Yivamash Nesra Sha'achat, any Yivamah who becomes a Surah for any moment of time, a Yivamah, Afilu Achar Nefilah Rei Ke'eshet Ach, Sheish La Banim Vasur Li'olam. She becomes a Surah Li'olam. As soon as there's something that prevents you from marrying this woman as a Yivamah, even if that issue is cleared up later on, that doesn't change the status of this woman as being an Eshet Ach, Sheish La Banim. It's as if there's an Erva here and you may not marry the woman. So since at the time of the Mita, when these women fell to the two brothers, there was a Zika here that applied to both of them. And then for both of them are Surim, even when you go and perform Chalitza after that by the first brother, the second brother can't marry because these women at one point were Asurot to him. And since they were Asurot, they become like Eshet Ach, and it's an Erva and they cannot marry at all. That's according to the one who says Yesh Zika. According to the one who says Ein Zika, then why don't we allow him to perform Chalitza first and then maybe Abeim? The problem being Vatal Mitzvah Yibumim is only when you perform Yibum first. Because then there's a risk that the other brother will die and the second woman will go free without anything. But in the case we do Chalitza first and then Yibum, that would be totally fine. So we said this earlier back on Daf Yudchet as well. It's because where Gozer, Chalitza, then Yibum, Otu Yibum, and then Chalitza. So for those reasons, the case by the Arba Achim is different than our case over here, mainly because there's a Vada Yisur over there. Over here, we're only dealing with the Suffolk Yisur, and therefore each one can make a claim that they married the right woman. Tana Shila Vafilu Shnehem Kohanim. Even if they're both Kohanim, we don't force them to divorce over here. Even though over here, one of them is definitely a Chalutza, and we know that Chalutza is a Surah for a Kohen. So in that last scenario in the Mishnah where you have the brothers over here and they're definitely, one of them is a Chalutza and they both marry these women, then why do we say that if they kanmu v'kansu, it's totally fine, the Kohanim can keep them. Gemara says, my time, Chalutza d'rabbanani. The Safek Chalutza lo gazru ba'o ba'banan. Chalutza is only an Isur d'rabbanan for a Kohen to marry, as opposed to Grusha, which is d'oraita. Chalutza is only d'rabbanan. And over here, it's a Safek d'rabbanan. And a Safek d'rabbanan would go to Kula. Now, if you ask us before of the fact, we're going to tell you don't get yourself into this suffix because it really is a suffix isur. But once you've already acted upon it and you've already married these women, we're not going to force you to divorce the woman because it's only a suffix chalutza. It's an isur derabonon, it's a suffix derabonon. Where it says, chalutza derabononi? Is that really true that the isur of a kohen to a chalutza is only derabonon? Vatanya, grusha. And the other grusha, that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. Chalutza, minayin, I know he's also not allowed to marry a chalutza. Tomalomar, vi'isha. V'isha girusha. So v'isha comes to include even a woman who is chalutza is considered to be like a grusha. Gemara says, midirabononu, v'kra asmachta ba'almahu. It really is a din derabonon, the pasuk, or the limit from the pasuk, just an asmach from the pasuk to reinforce the din derabonon, but it's not a real limud de'oraita. Therefore, we're only dealing with the savik derabonon. For instance, that last case in the Mishnah, where you have Moshe and Reuven who were married, possibly the two sisters, there was some mix-up. They both pass away, and then you have two brothers on each side. We said over there, in the case where two of the brothers performed chalitza, say in that case, Shimon and Levi performed chalitza with the women, and then Kalev and Aaron come along and marry the two women. We said there, Kadmu b'kansu. In that case, if they went ahead and married, we'd leave them like that. Now, even though Aaron and Kalev are Kohanim, we're going to still say that din, because, again, it's only a safek chalutza. You're right. One of the two women for sure is a chalutza. But we don't know which one it is. So we don't know which one of them to get divorced. And on top of it, it's a safek of chalutza, which is only a din derabonon. So in a safek derabonon, we're not going to force them to get divorced. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph.